come. We're going to make this real, real quick.
Okay, good. Get Joanne up here. Wonderful. Do them again, Abby. I don't
know. 254.
You still got time. You want to do Ulubehi Okikai. Ulubehi Okikai. Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, come on. Yeah, can.
This last song we're going to do for you, I'll go ahead and dance it for you. And it talks about getting seaweed off of the shores and the Big Island. So it's going to be kind of fast, but we want to thank you for visiting with us. Mahalo nui.
Ready?
Oh, you ready?
We ready. You're ready.
Okay, we're ready.
E ho ohe nu ke ike a ke kai mo ana nu ina ui ke ala e I po hine me ke ala o kali I po a e ho ohe nu ke ike a ku ke kai mo ana nu ina ui ke ala e I po hine
group, take over.
Okay, how about another round of applause for Panga and Smith?
Thank you. Sound like a comedy
and actor. Also for the Kuu o Home o Hawaii hula dancers. Now, I know as a fact that they're going to be back on Sunday at this stage, but I have a feeling they're going to be around tomorrow as well. Where will you all be performing tomorrow?
Whenever I get that feeling.
Whenever you get that feeling.
Where?
Whenever we find a Hawaiian time.
Here.
You'll be here again tomorrow. And if you want to learn a little bit more about some of these traditions, I also recommend that you walk to the other side of this tower, back to what's called the Folklife Village. And there are a variety of people back there demonstrating different types of traditional arts, including some of the things that you'll be seeing on this stage. Anyways, welcome to the 46th, I believe it is, Florida Folklife Festival. I just got here myself, running late from Miami, but it's a real pleasure to be out here in the beautiful countryside. We have lots of things scheduled for the entire weekend. We hope most of you will be here with us through Sunday. But coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have a very unique opportunity to learn about a tradition of drawing from India called Rangoli. This is a type of drawing that is done with rice flour, and it's extremely intricate. It's done on the floor, and Mrs. Jaya Radhakrishnan is here with us and is going to demonstrate this tradition for you all, and she's going to invite you all to come up and give it a try yourself. So in just about 2 or 3 minutes, she's going to come forward, and we invite you all to stick around and participate. Thank you. We have a quick stage change here, and we're ready to go with Mrs. Jaya Radhakrishnan, who is from Dade City, which is between Tampa and Ocala. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, she is going to be demonstrating the fine art of Rangoli, and I'm going to let her tell you all about that. And as I said, she would like you all to come up and give her a hand, so feel free to participate when she gives you the word. Okay.
If all of you can come closer, because this is, it's not music or a dance. It is an art, and if you want to see and you can participate in this one, it is easy. It will look hard, but I will take you step by step, then you know how to expand from that. So if you want to come to the little bit front so that you can see what the art is all about. Just to move up front. Okay. Rangoli. In North India, it is called Rangoli. In South India, it is called Kolam. Kolam, anytime Kolam or Rangoli means the decoration. It is a symbol of joy, faith, spirituality, security, and mere fun. This tradition has been, there's no set rule for this one. Usually it has been trained from grandmother to mother to daughter to daughter to daughter. Usually the women in the family keep up this tradition. And we do this for several reasons. Sometimes just for a decoration purpose only. If a distinguished guest is coming to our town or you are inviting company to your home, we decorate our front of the home on the floor that you decorated, which tells them that it is a welcome sign for those people. You are welcoming them that way. For the holidays, it is a must, because that's where the spirituality and the security comes in. Before we do any type of prayer, whatever offering that we are going to give, the first thing we will do is clean up the floor and put this art. And on top of that, you can put anything you want, which tells you that you are practically creating a barrier there, more like a framework, and you can put things on top of it. It's a joy. Any holidays, any get-togethers, we put it in a big scale. Especially when I see this place, I get carried away, because you can start from a very small square or a very small circle, and you can elaborate more and more and more. Usually that is how the family teaches the other members of the family members. For example, during the holidays, my mother and grandmother will start in the beginning. Because if you don't set your foundation right, by the time you finish that art, it is going to be crooked. So you have to be very careful. Once they start that, they will start the design, and I will try to learn the design from them. Then to make it myself a little bit more experienced, I compare mine with my mother's and my grandmother's, and I get so frustrated, because they do a perfect job and mine is a mess. So instead of leaving it like that, I go back and redo it again and again and again. But I will not create any designs, because at that point in a child's life, you learn the art, what it is. As you master that art, then you become creative. Now, if my mother starts a design, from another end, I will start my own. So we exchange. We are more like friends exchanging information back and forth. And that's what attracted me to get into this one. And I started collecting books on it. And why we are doing this Rangoli? What is the reason behind it? Other than just the visibility, yes, it looks nice. That is when I learned it is spiritual. It is for the security. And I started getting into deeper and deeper. If I go on and on, half an hour is not going to be enough. So I have enough handouts, and I on demonstration apprenticeship demonstration area, where you see Indian Rangoli, that is where I have set up my booth. And I will be doing a lot of elaborate work there, and a lot of demonstration products are there, and a lot of books that you will see. But in the meantime, I brought one or two. I started making designs of, like I said, it is a creativity. There's no set rule for this one. Once you know how to do it, then you set your own framework. I wanted to put an umbrella, and I made a design. And how I can teach others, so I started putting the dots on it. So I say, join these dots, and by the time you complete it, there's your final product. And at the bottom, spirituality. A lot of you have heard the music and dance under the Lord Shiva or Nataraja. That is a prayer. When we have that auspicious occasion, this is the design that we will put. And I have put on top of it how many dots we need to put. Some other occasions, we put as a chariot. And I can pass this on to you so all of you can see it. It is all designs and very simple ones, but when you put all that together, it becomes a big thing. And if you keep advancing on that one, this is what you will get. Which you said, there's no way I'm going to do this one. Because if you are an expert, by the time you finish this one, you shouldn't even know where you started or where you ended. But it's nothing to, when we take it piece by piece, it is nothing but a design where we use it for a framework, a border. And when you add up all this, it becomes a big design. It's more like a chariot, or usually we put this one during marriage. It is the couple is blessed under the wing of God. So you more or like the, you make it as a temple design, and that's what this one is. So in this book, there are different designs from very simple one all the way to the hard ones. Again, this design is very difficult to do. So what? How we teach the children is with a giving a pencil and a paper. Here, draw the design by pencil. Because the art is actually done by a white flower. The white powder, you have to learn to disperse through your finger. Actually, you take a pinch of that powder and pinch it. It is easy to say. When you try to do it, it is not that easy. So we will teach the children how to put your design first. Then we'll tell them, on top of that design, go ahead and try this powder. As you get advanced, instead of one line, I will teach how to put two lines. That thanks to my grandmother, because not everyone does this. My grandmother taught me that. Two lines at the same time you can put in. I will demonstrate in a few minutes. As you advance in this one, when you do this decoration on the floor with a flower or a powder, people are bound to step on it and it'll smear quick. So what we do is we take rice flour. Rice is always pure. Rice is wealth, and our main food is rice. So when you do anything with rice, that is a pure thing that you are doing. And take that rice flour. You make a paste out of the rice flour. Put some of the rice flour and add some water to it. Make sure that it's not too thick or too thin. What will happen is, if you put too much water in it, when it dries, you won't see the design at all. If you put too much in it, the water won't flow properly. You mix it and make it as a thick paste, like this. I put a tiny piece of rag. The rag is soaked in it, which soaks up the water. And out of that, because you are going to use that one to make your design. I'll show a small one here. Now that the knack on the technique on that one is not the water or the paste. How you disperse that, pour that water into it. I'm going to use these two fingers. And between these two fingers that the water is going to flow. and you make any design you want. That side is dried, so I turned it. This is my basic design. From this one on, I can expand it as big as I want, and I can fill this place. I will run out of space. Because as you go along, you create your own design. For a long time, you should not step on this one, but once it is dried, even if you step on it, it will stay like that for a week or 10 days. So usually in front of the home, this is what we will do. And this one is hard to do, because when you take that rag and try to put that design, it doesn't flow properly. That's where my daughter's problem is. She gets so frustrated because it doesn't come right. And I remember those because I used to say the same thing. It is a rice flour mixed with water. This design symbolizes, again, that particular one that I put, it symbolizes for Saturday. Saturday. You know the planets? Yes. And the way you put the design around it, that's what counts. So we believe in the Saturday planet is that way. And just before the prayer, in my home, I do the change it every day. For every day, there is a type of design that you put just before the prayer. For Monday, there is a design. Tuesday, there is a design. And so all the 7 days. And from the next day on, you start all over again. And that's one type of... let it dry so that I can show you later. And the white flour that I was talking about, the white powder. If it is too fine, you cannot do the work because it won't flow properly. So it's more like the beach sand, a little bit finer than that. You try to learn what, once anybody want to learn, there's no age. Anybody can start this art anytime. Once you know how to put your design in a paper and pencil, then on top of that, you learn to do a straight line. Again, I'm taking a pinch of this powder and pinching it out. As I do it, any design that I want, that's where your talents going to go show. See, I'm making a triangle. Or I can make any design that I want. There's no set rule for this one. Again, it's your creativity. These are some simple ones to do. Once you learn to do this in the beginning, people go the opposite way. You just go normally. Whatever feels right to you, do that one. Once you master that one, you learn the two lines. I haven't been able to teach my student that yet. She's trying very hard, but doesn't come right. You start putting two lines. Any design you want to put. I have a lot of paper and pencil if anybody wants to learn how to do this one. It goes on and on and on. In my booth, I'm going to decorate the floor with a few designs. So please come and look at that one. Now at this point, for the marriages, the same way. We do it in such a way that always, always we start with a square for the marriages. There is a reason for that. We are protected from all four sides. North, east, west, north, south. Because marriage is a commitment between two people, and they are protected from all sides. Once you start at the four corners, after that you can put any design you want. Usually the decoration for the marriages, at the end, it will end up in a circle, which tells us marriage has no end, no beginning. Once you start there, it goes on and on and on. It shouldn't break. So these are some significance for different designs. Again, rangoli changes from region to region. In south, mostly you will see a lot of dots and designs. And it shows more on your expertise, how to put the design. As you go north, the designs will be very simple, but they decorate with different colors. What they do is they put the design. These days they make it very easy. I remember at home we had to make our own colors. Now they sell it this way. Much, much easier. All you had to do is to take that white powder, mix it with any color you want. Sometimes you can combine two colors to make a different color, just like painting. Keep all in small, small cups. Make a design, for example, design like that. Fill in each square or the circle or the design as it is. Once you fill it out, you will not see that at all, nothing but color. That you see mostly in North India, not in South India. In South India, I'm from South, we believe in that is easy to do because if I give you the design, you can sit there and fill it. So that is not a talent. We had to put our own designs and make our own dots and make our own designs, which is going back to this. And some areas people believe in serpent worship. Some of you may have heard. And for their holidays, they put serpents using the same type of technique. So it differs from place to place. At this point, I'm going to stop and I will ask if anybody has any questions. How many of you are familiar with this art? Have you heard? Have you seen it? Isn't it? Good. Pardon? It is on building number one. Yes. Yes. And I'm going to put, most probably this evening, I'm going to put a chariot. Something like this. You can look at it. Yes. 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 This is one of the designs. I have few of them on the wall there, but I just brought one of them. Usually any ends you see like that, you won't leave it just blank. You will finish it with a flower. And there are different designs of flowers that you can put. When you look at the whole thing, it's complicated. But how I teach is I'll take one portion, this is all. And I will teach with five dots how to join that. This morning I had a lot of children coming from schools. It was amazing. Everybody put five dots across and down and joined this one. By the time they finished, it became a design. You could see from their eyes that they did something different. And I enjoyed just seeing them face. Once you learn this one, This one is an elaboration of that. And this one is an elaboration of that. So you make your own. All I did in this one is I cut down five here and there. But from here, I added five. So all of a sudden, it became a design. And any art like this, you cannot fill the color powder. Because this is more of an art with the dots. But some of the ones that I have there, inside the boxes, you can color them. But I do all of those art.
And how did you learn to do this art?
Learned it from my grandmother and mother. First I kept telling, I knew when they are doing it, it is so easy. But I always felt like that is hard, I'm not going to do it. But it's very tempting when they are doing it. So gradually I started taking some powder and it's frustrating it didn't come like my mom does it. But I kept at it. Two of my students, my sisters, they gave up on it because it didn't come right. Now they are regretting. But I kept at it and I will wipe with a wet towel and start all over again. And the more angrier I get, the better I became. Now I am teaching that to my daughter. Of course, children these days, you know, they are very busy with their extracurricular activities and the schools and all that. And my daughter is going to medical college. But still, she keeps half an hour to learn this art. Because this is something, if I let it go, that's it, it's going to stop. And I don't want that to happen, not in my family. But unfortunately, my sister's children do not learn. So whenever I go there, they are learning from me. And my mother is teaching them. And like I said, this is an art that you have to keep it up in the family. It's not going to go away. It's over 5,000 years old, this art is. And it's not mission made. When I say again, it's not mission made, these days everybody wants to see an easy way out. People make this. This is a lot of a design with a lot of holes in it. All you had to do is to take that powder, fill it here, touch it one time on the floor, you got the design. But I would call it, this is the easy way out. When I was home, you know, we moved to America 30 years ago. But when I was home, this was not available. We had to do it by hand. But this design, I can do it with darts. Again, this is a design for Fridays, we put it. When you really look at this one, this is 11 darts up, down, and across, and you put it as a circle. Again, this join, all you had to do is join the darts of 1, 3, 5, 2, 4. 1, 3, 5, 2, 4. Sounds like a dance. Everything has a pattern. Once you finish that one, you don't know where it started and where it ended. This represents the feminine side of God. Because in Hinduism, those who know Hinduism, God is not a man or a woman. God is an it. Any living thing, God is there. Each day, people serve God in different ways because for a human, you have to understand in some way. On Fridays, we put this, symbolizing a woman. Because there's no end, there is no clear cut. Tell me, any of you who are sitting here, for women, can you say this is your responsibility, this is all? No, we fit in everywhere. Wherever there is a gap, a woman has to fill in. Which shows that we can do everything, anything. And that symbolizes through this one, we put that on Fridays before our prayer. Give me that kind of strength to me. It's more like it. So that's why I said it's more spiritual. But at the same time, you do not have to be spiritual. Do it for fun. There's no one way to do this one. And it is not set for certain people. Anybody can learn this. Now I am understanding in India they are doing this and framing it as a wall decoration. That's a new one. No, they frame it. Yes. They do this design in a cloth and like a hand printed any type of painting. And decorate that.
I had another question. Is there a similar tradition in North India?
That is when in North India they call it Rangoli. It's the same thing.
It's the same?
Yes.
Okay. What do they call it in South India?
Kolam. K-O-L-A-M. But it's the same.
Are there different designs or is it pretty much?
Yes. In North you will see more plain designs but filled with colors. But in South we just do the artwork of it. But now there is North, South because we all want to learn everything.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were teaching your daughter. Do many other people around Florida practice this art?
Unfortunately, the people that I know, very few does it. And especially in temples, so people will ask, you know, now that I have carpet in my home, or I don't have enough space in front of my home, because the houses are built that way. But if there is a will, there is a way. I also have carpet in my home, but in my prayer room, I left it blank, black floor. That is where the experiment and everything comes. And in front of my home, I have built one with concrete just for this purpose. And in temples, before the holidays, we put that, and I encourage a lot of families to come and do it with me. Because sometimes it is easy to do a portion of it, but somebody has to take the lead. I tell them, I don't mind starting, but help me there. That way we can expand it. Some families do come. If one out of all of them learn, then we are keeping the tradition. I firmly believe in, and thanks to my parents and grandparents. Because it's a beautiful art, and we cannot let it go to waste. Any questions anybody has? Because I think my time is pretty much.
I'd like to ask questions because we're still waiting for the next group, which is a music and dance group from Polynesia. But until they come, if Jai is willing to stay around a few minutes, we can
definitely
ask you questions. And, maybe even
and come to my booth. You can see a little bit more stuff than here what I have. I just brought some samples, that's all. But they're actually in a paper and pencil. I can teach you. You will be amazed how you learn. Because in a simple way, we can teach. Anything, you know, if you do not know that art, it is difficult. But once somebody is teaching you step by step, that's what how I learned.
And again, the booth that she's referring to is right on the other side of this tower. Now, I think it's sort of a little lower area.
Pardon?
The other side of this
Yeah, it is still wet, but it will dry. Then you can see the white lines.
And it'll be
then
there for 10 or 10 days.
Oh, yeah. Even if you see right now, it is wet. So when usually when we decorate like this, we will be guarding this. Don't step on it. But once it is dry, anybody can walk through. Because especially for marriages and everything, there will be a lot of people. You cannot say, don't step on it. So these are, usually what we do is for the marriages, after the children go to sleep, the adults will do it. Next day morning, it will be dry. Yeah, some of the places it's drying. And I can teach you. Come to the booth. I can teach you how to do it. Okay?
And you'll be at that booth all day, today, tomorrow,
tomorrow and Sunday.
So
yes.
You have lots of opportunities to go give it a try. Again, it's on the other side of this tower. You'll see, I think it's about three or four small houses and some pavilions. And in each of those buildings and in the pavilions are people demonstrating different types of traditional arts, including Rangoli.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a more intimate experience over there.
Please come and visit our booth. And I'm going to decorate on the floor with one design so all of you can see what will look when we do it in an elaborate way. Okay. Hopefully I may put a chariot. My student wants me to help her with it. So I may do that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Are these guys going to come back?
Yep.
Netane.
Netane.
Yeah.
Productions.
Production.
Okay. And are you the leader?
Or no.
Who should I introduce as the leader?
Yeah. Well, our leader right there.
Oh, okay.
That's the main.
Okay, okay, good. Hi. Christine.
Check, 1, 2.
Okay, I'd like to thank Mrs. Radhakrishnan again for that excellent demonstration and explanation of what is a very complex art form. And I know that you could only give us a little bit of an introduction, but hopefully people will take advantage of the fact that you're going to be around for a couple more days, as we said, over in the area on the other side of the tower, and they can learn a little bit more about this tradition.
And I have a lot of handouts which will explain to you what is this art, how it came, and what is the meaning and all that. I did not get into a lot of details because of the timing, but I have the handouts there. I picked a few things that which will really explain what Rangoli is all about. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Okay, if everybody just holds on a few minutes, we're going to be hearing some Polynesian music and also seeing some Polynesian dance. So we're just waiting for the next group to go ahead and get set up. So just give us a few more minutes. Thank you. Okay, I think we're once again ready to begin. It's a real pleasure to have with us today Netane Productions, which is under the direction of Mr. Willie Netane, who's been involved in this tradition his entire life. So you're going to have a chance to hear some of the music from Polynesia, and in a few minutes, also some of the dance. So sit back and enjoy.
You better be careful, her tempting rolling. Don't concentrate on her soon, it doesn't mean a thing. Keep your eyes on her hand. Remember she's telling a story to you. Her upper was swinging, but don't watch the view. Don't concentrate on that swing, it doesn't mean a thing. Keep your eyes on her hand. And when she goes tantalizing, keep your eyes over there long. When the grass goes switching, keep your head and don't go wishing that you would like to mow along. Your eyes revealing, you're fooling no one. No use concealing, we're having such fun. But if you're too young to date, well over 98, keep your eyes on hand. and she goes around the island swinging hips so tantalizing. Keep your eyes where they belong. When the grass goes swishing, keep your head and don't go wishing that you would like to mow the lawn. Your eyes are revealing, you're fooling no one. No use concealing, we're having such fun. But if you're too young today, well over 98, keep your eyes on the hands that tell the story. Just keep your eyes on her head. Thank you. This time, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take it to the island of Tahiti and bring to you with our lovely dancers with the welcoming dance, the Otea. Dances from the island of Tahiti. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Neitane Polynesia Productions, currently working out at Orlando. This time, before I bring out all the other dances again, I'd like to do for you a song. This time, I'd like to take it to the lovely island of the Long White Cloud, better known to us as New Zealand, with our dancers. Tene je po firi namini ki narivi alwe Eje po agia gore de gore loa Jeo jao jao jibu ari ki ta ki vai Ye bagay anako jo anako anao chao e Chao akano duwa
from the island of the Long White Cloud, New Zealand. This time we'd like to go back to the very sophisticated island of Hawaii and bring to you what is known as one of the modern day hulas. And it goes something like this.
Tonight, Mapua. One kiss of sweet aloha.
soft wind sighing, to a little island to you me. And hula palm trees sway to rhythms of the sea. The whispers to the stars on high and wonder why this fall. You're not amongst the stars. Sweet dreams, Mapua. Kiss of sweet aloha, aloha, I love you. One kiss of sweet aloha, aloha, I love you.
Every dancer, Mapuhala. This time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring you back to the real exciting island of Tahiti and do for you what is known as the Ori Tahiti. Time the girl's gonna go out and get two lucky gentlemen. Bring them on up here to dance with us. First one up will be Sissy and her partner. Let's see. Let's find out what's his name and where is he from. What's your name and where you're from?
Kevin.
Kevin. Fort Lauderdale. How about a hand for Kevin from Fort Lauderdale? All right, Kevin. You ready? Follow what she does. Here we go.
Kevin.
Good job, good job. Now the last, we always save him for the last because he's the best one. So what you're going to do is you got to just follow your dancer right here. So you need to do exactly what she does. You'll be just fine. You ever done this kind of dancing? No? All right, it'll come back to you. Don't worry. Keep your eye on that dancer. Here we go. Take a bow, you're a great sport. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that comes to a little conclusion of our show. We hope you guys have a wonderful day here. And from us to you, we like to say aloha. We'll be right back.
Okay, how about another round of applause for Natanai Productions? You will have a few more opportunities to hear this fine group. They'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. for a kava ceremony, I believe. And then don't forget, at 5 o'clock, tomorrow afternoon, right around here, there will be a luau cook-off. Is that correct? And what can we expect to have at that cook-off tomorrow? Okay, so don't forget that. And after the cookout, they will be performing here again. So please stick around. In about another 10 minutes, our Hawaiian group will be back again. A few of you may have heard them a little earlier. They're coming back to give us a second performance. And there's lots of other things going on. Don't forget to check out some of the other stages. And if you're interested in finding out... Can you all hear me? If you're interested in finding out a little bit more about the different folk traditions which we're presenting on this stage, I'd recommend that you go to what's called the Folk Life Village. That is a collection of small houses and pavilions on the other side of this tower. And over there, you can have a chance to talk directly with some of the traditional artists. You can meet people, for example, who make the steel pans that are used in Trinidad in the steel bands. You can also meet Jaya Radhakrishnan, the woman who was here a little while ago demonstrating the Rangoli drawing. There is James Kelly, who's one of the greatest Irish fiddlers in the world, is over there, a Russian icon painter, and several other traditional artists. They're going to be there all day today, all day tomorrow, and all day Sunday. And there you'll have a chance to sit down and actually talk with them and learn a little bit more about the various arts forms which are being presented here. Yes, ma'am, you have a question. The Celtic musicians will probably be in various places. I believe they will be here if you check on the calendar, the schedule. And as I said, Mr. James Kelly, who's one of the greatest Celtic fiddlers ever, is probably over there right now. So you, again, the Folklore Village, I believe, is on the other side of this tower, sort of down in a little lowered area. And you'll see some small buildings and some pavilions. And just look around in that area. So just to relax for about another 5 minutes or so, and we'll be presenting the Hawaiian Music and Dance Group. Thank you. Around. And once again, it's a real pleasure to have with us Roy Pang and Charles Smith, who are masters of Hawaiian slack key guitar music. I have one question before we begin. Roy, what do they mean by slack key?
The guitar is not tuned to your normal tuning. It's almost like an open tuning.
Okay, Roy was explaining there that when you hear people refer to Hawaiian slack key guitar music, what they mean is that the guitar is not tuned to a regular tuning. It's sort of like what's called an open tuning in some other traditions. So anyways, both Roy and Charles are masters of this tradition, and they're going to provide us with some different examples of traditional Hawaiian slack key music. And then in a little bit later, they're going to be joined by a few dancers. So please sit back and enjoy. Roy Pang, Charles Smith. Thank you.
That is the Hawaiian style of open guitar tuning. When we first learned how to play the guitar, we didn't know how to tune it, so we made our own tuning, and that's what happened.
And you were stuck.
Are you doing Rusty?
Yeah.
Well, I feel your child is going to sing it.
Thanks, eh? Thank you.
Everybody know this one.
Tiny bubble in Hawaii makes me happy, makes me feel fine. Tiny bubble makes me warm all over. Where the feeling that Mona love you till the end of time. So here's to the golden moon, and here's to the silvery sea. And mostly here's a toast to you and me. Tiny bumble in Hawaii, makes me happy. How aloha makes me feel fine. Tiny bubble makes me warm all over. With the wind at the corner, love you till the end of time. So here's to the ginger lake that I give to you today. And here's a kiss that won't fade away. Tiny bubbles, ooh, alike, in Hawaii, Nikanaia, makes me happy. Oh, aloha, makes me feel fine. Nikanaia, inu. Tiny bubbles, makes me warm. Oh, the feeling that I'm gonna love you to the end of time. With the feeling, with the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time.
Thank you.
Tiny Bubbles made it all the way here in the woods.
Hey, bro. I know he would just add that in. Lucky June never fly one stone on top of it. Lucky June never throw one puhako on top of it.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed the music so far, but there's lots more to come. Of course, that was Pangan Smith doing slack key Hawaiian guitar music. Don't worry, they're not going away. They will now be joined by the dancers led by Kay Brandon, who's going to tell you a little bit about the traditional Hawaiian dance that you haven't seen yet. The style that they were doing earlier was quite different than what you're going to see now. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Kai, and she's going to explain a little bit more about the dance styles that you're going to be seeing now.
What we're going to perform to you is really a performance of the heart, okay? And long time ago, before mankind found Hawaii, where gods perpetuated the kingdoms, we did a dance that was pre-contact. And so that dance is going to be performed for you tonight. And it honors Hawaii, the Big Island, and its main attraction there, which is Kilauea.
Yeah. ekalama kahikina. Opuka, opuka ekalama kahikina. Mekahua kahihele no kumu kahi haamaina. I a la o peli I hava I ea. I a la o peli I hava I ea. Te ha a mai la I ma o peli ea. I la o peli I hava I ea. Te ha a mai la I ma o peli ea. Ui u ha mai ana ea. Teno me la e la e na.
Thank you very much. So that tells a story about a goddess that lives in a volcano. And those of you that may know our culture just a little bit, some people ask me, how can you have so many gods? But in the transition from going from island to island, as it was explained to me by my forefathers, one takes on the responsibility of the journey. And Peli's responsibility was to keep the fires burning. And that she did. The next dance that we're going to do for you is a dance called Kalakaua He'inoa. Now, Kalakaua was the last reigning king, and he died in San Francisco. And his sister took over the throneship. And for those of you that know the Hawaii history, you would know that the government was overthrown with a bloodless coup. And Lili'u spent her remaining years locked in a room with all the windows barred, never to see daylight. And that occurred in 1893. This is a lighter side of one of our hulas. It is also a kahiko, or for those that are old-timers, it's also called an olapa. The items that they are using in their hands are called kala'au. You may know them as sticks. The little men that you see next to us, we call them ipuhekes. They are shaped like the bodies of men. And that's the only time we can beat on them. Oh, let's try that again. I... Mahalo. I, Kalakaua, hate Inoa. Kalakaua, Kalahakaua, hate Inoa. Kapua mai ole kala'a. Kalahakaua, hate Inoa. Kapua mai ole kala'a. Kapua nana ikamaona. Kekua hiri o manakea. Kapua nani a ohaia, ke kua hiri o mana kea. Ke ala I ke, ke ala I te tiloea, ma lama lama ova hine kapu. Ke ala I ke ala I ke tiloea, ma lama lama ova hine kapu. Aluna, aluna awe kahuna, I ka pali kapu o ka au ea. Aluna awe kahuna, I ka pali kapu o ka au hea. E mai te ali I ti o manu, ula vehi o ka hulu o ka mamo. E mai ke ali I ti o manu, ula vehi o ka hulu o ka mamo. Kapua nani a o Hawaii, kala kawa he inoa. Kapua nani a o Hawaii, kala kawa he inoa. He noa no kala kawa. Mahalo. And so, we've taken through through the lands of the gods, and then from the lands of our kings. And the next journey that we're going to take is to the present day. And over in Hawaii, they had a little island that was a bombing target for the military, and its name was Ko'olawe. And back about 4 years ago, they restored the island back to the Hawaiian people. And so a group of kumuhulas, which are teachers of the and masters of the hula, went to the island to restore part of parts of the island. And so one of the kumas came off the island writing this story, and it talks about, believe it or not, a fisherman. So we're going to dedicate this to all the fishermen that are out there. Not only that they're fishermen, but that they could be good fishermen.
What she didn't mention is the author of this chant is Kili Raishel. He's a Maui kumuhula, or he is an instructor of hula. And we had the privilege of seeing him last summer during a July Carnegie Hall concert. And the very next day he taught us this chant, one he wrote as well as choreographed. Kai Kili is being a little modest. In Hawaii, our chants have a surface meaning, and then it has a very poetic meaning or a deeper meaning. O ma kau kau? No, aole means no. We're not ready yet. We're having some technical difficulty with the material.
Okay.
I, Ma'oke,
kana poka ia maka ia uli mehe pai pu'u alai ho o pu'u ia mai talai o halonai kai o kalai o ka uela hei ala hei ala ei ai. I kana poka ia maka ia uli mehe pai pu'u alai ho o pu'u ia mai talai o halonai tai o kalai o ka uela hei ala hei ala ei ai. O ka opihi ha la 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 e ai, hamo hamo i ta pale ha la 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 e ai, kolo i ka pohaku ha la 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 e ai, pai pu ume ume ha la 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 e ai, hei ala hei ala e ai. O ka opihi e te lehia o te tulu ahu moe, hinu hinu pale vihi o ke kai. Ike kae olohio, ka lapa ke ala, hei ala, hei ala, ei ai. O ka ia, ia, i, poke, poke, ia, e te leihia o te tulu ahu moe, hinu, hinu, vale, ita lihi o ke kai. Ike kae olohio, ta lapa ke ala, hei ala, hei ala, ei ai. O ka opihi ha la 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 e ai, hamo hamo i ta pali ha la 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 e ai, tolo i ka pohaku ha la 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 e ai, pai pu ume ume ha la 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 e ai, hei ala hei ala e ai, ai he hi ai e.
And so that takes you through the island, and it takes you from what used to be kahiko is now become a modern kahiko.
Okay, how about another round of applause for the Kuhu O Home O Hawaii dancers? And of course also for Pang and Smith, the musicians who were with us earlier, but still in the background here. There'll be lots of chances to hear more from this group, both tomorrow, down by what's called the Folk Narrative Stage. Has anybody discovered that stage yet? I know there are about 8 or 10 different stages here. Anybody know where the Folk Narrative Stage is? Aha, a few people. If you look down here, there's a building, a sort of a yellowish building, sort of past that, around where they sell the lemonade. There's a very interesting stage there, quite small, but it's a chance where what we do is we sit down and talk to the artists and learn a little bit more about the traditions, and it's a good chance to ask questions if you want to learn more about what you've seen on this stage. And I should also remind you that another opportunity to get a little more in depth information is to go back to what's called the Folklife Village, which is on the other side of this tower, where there are several masters of traditional arts, everything from the art of making Trinidadian steel pans to Irish fiddling to many other forms. And you can talk with the artists back in that village area and learn more as well. So I think at this point, we're going to turn the stage over to the Irish Ceilidh. So those of you who enjoy Irish fiddling and dance and so forth, stick around, because I think that's going to be starting in just a few minutes. Again, thank you for coming, and I hope you'll stick with us for the next 2 days.